Part 2. In this part, you will hear 3 short talks. After each talk, you will hear 6 questions about it. Before each talk begins, you will have time to preview the questions. You will hear each talk and the questions once. You can take notes if you wish. Choose the correct answer, A, B, C, or D. Now you will hear the first talk. Look at the questions. Listen to an academic advisor of a bachelor's degree talking to students.
Good morning and welcome to Malden University. My name is Melissa Rodriguez, and I'm the academic advisor of the Secondary Education Bachelor Program in the School of Education. I'd like to take you through the structure of the program and what the requirements of the degree you're pursuing here are. I'll start by telling you a few things about the structure of the faculty, as you may need to call on members of staff for help during your studies here. At the top of the faculty is the dean, Dr. Emily Dennis, but for practical purposes, the people you're going to see the most are myself and the actual lecturers teaching your courses. If you need help in choosing a major and a minor, I'm here to help you decide by giving you information about what each course entails. Only, you have to go online and make an advising appointment. Now, if you have any problems or difficulties, not that I'm anticipating that you will, then you must contact your lecturers. For example, you may realize that you can't meet a deadline, you can't gather the relevant resources, or maybe you're having problems with attendance. If your lecturers are unavailable, you can always make an appointment to see me in my office. All the courses this year are composed of lectures and tutorials. During lectures, you will listen to your professor talking to all of you together and will have to take notes. For tutorials, you will be divided into groups of between 10 and 14 students, and during the whole semester, you'll take weekly turns to present a piece of work. Then you will discuss what you've said, and it is in this discussion, this exchange of ideas, that most of the learning occurs at a university. Now, I'd like to talk about another, very important aspect of university life. The structure of essays and delivery of written material.
Number 21. Who is the speaker probably addressing? Number 22. What is implied about Dr. Dennis? Number 23. What is true about Melissa Rodriguez? Number 24. What student problem does the speaker not mention? Number 25. How often will students present their work in tutorials? Number 26. What is the significance of tutorials? Now you will hear the second talk. Look at the questions. Listen to a psychologist talking on the radio.
Good evening, listeners. Tonight's topic is teenager depression and social media. You don't think they're related? Well, you're wrong. A study recently published in a pediatric scientific journal revealed that teens who take in a lot of social media can have more symptoms of depression. The study monitored a sample of nearly 4,000 high school students ages 12 to 16. While other research has linked social media to depression, this one is the first to follow youth for such a long period of time. The study revealed that the more a teenager is on social media, the higher the risk to develop depression. Let me explain how this works. When teenagers repeatedly see attractive, wealthy people on Instagram or people having fun on Facebook, they start comparing themselves to what, to their eyes, is the ideal. Then they may start to feel badly about themselves. Teens with depression are more likely to seek out content that reinforces their emotional state. And the more they seek it out, the more media algorithms are likely to serve them content that makes them feel badly, creating a feedback loop. And this is where you come in. Researchers say that the first line of defense against the negative effects of social media is parents. The thing is that parents only talk with their teens about alcohol use, smoking, or driving safely. Conversations about the negative effects of exposure to certain content on social media must become more straightforward. The problem with teenage depression is that it often disguises itself as normal mood swings due to puberty or teen angst. So look out for any rebellious and unhealthy behaviors, like school problems, fatigue, or lack of energy, violent outbursts, or even unexplained aches and pains. If you spot them, you'd better consult a specialist.
Number 27. What is the purpose of the talk? Number 28. What renders the study discussed quite valid? Number 29. What is implied about what teenagers see on social media? Number 30. How does teenage depression caused by social media work? Number 31. What does the psychologist advise parents to do with their children? Number 32. What is the problem with teenage depression? Now you will hear the third talk. Look at the questions. Listen to a man talking to workers in a museum.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for volunteering to be a docent for the Dennis Museum Center's exhibition, Visions of American Life, Paintings from the Minugian Collection, 1850 to 1940. Let me acquaint you with some tricks of the trade that will help you become terrific docents. First of all, get to know your stuff thoroughly so that you prepare yourself to answer visitors' questions. If you find yourselves in a blind spot, which is quite all right, consult with museum staff and resources to provide an answer before the visitors leave the museum, or refer them to their local libraries. And remember, unanswered queries can act as incentives to explore the topic further. The second tip is to know your audience. Are they students or senior citizens? Are they strangers to one another? Are they interacting with each other? This will allow you to adjust the length and the content of your tour. After leading a few tours, you'll begin to see what works with each group. Master the art of asking questions and use it to encourage participation. You can ask cognitive questions about what the visitors already know, convergent questions that require the visitors to do something with the information they've been exposed to, divergent questions for new ideas and inferences, or evaluative questions requiring visitors to make judgments or draw conclusions. You'll find examples of those in the Visions of American Life handbook. And don't forget who's the boss. You may occasionally experience an unruly or disruptive visitor. If it is a student, remain calm and focused. If the problem persists, ask the teacher or adult chaperone to remove the student from the tour. In case you're dealing with an adult, calmly explain that disruptive comments are interfering with the other visitor's enjoyment and ask them to refrain from the behavior. If worse comes to worse, check the museum's policy and defer to it if you find yourself in a sticky or uncomfortable situation.
Number 33. What is probably true of the audience? Number 34. What does the speaker mean when he says,
"If you find yourselves in a blind spot"?
Number 35. What does the speaker say about unanswered visitors' questions? Number 36. Why is it good for docents to know their audience? Number 37. In your opinion, how does this painting reveal the way Europeans imagined America? Is an example of a question. Number 38. What does the speaker imply about visitors' disruptive behavior? End of part 2.